from PastorBobReed.com, spelled R-E-I-D. 12 October 2014. All Roads Lead to Rome, Part 12, by Pastor Bob. Read with possible mispronunciations. Quote, all doves. Many people were deceived into thinking that when the Roman Catholic papal system suppressed the Jesuits between 1773 and 1815, the Jesuits were destroyed. However, that was a major misconception. Over the last 300 years or so, the Jesuits have been banned or evicted from something on the order of 80 to 85 countries, states. However, when they returned in greater strength and vengeance. The Illuminati was founded in May of 1776 by Jesuit Adam Weishaupt at Hanau, Germany. During the period of papal suppression, the Jesuits were far from being inactive, but rather actively regrouping and planning for their ascent to the Roman Catholic pinnacle of power. Pope Francis is not to be dismissed or underestimated, not in the slightest. He is a Jesuit and has been most of his years as a priest, bishop, cardinal, and now as pope. Jesuits operate by a lengthy list of absolutes. The following papal maxims regulate the Jesuit order. There is but one supreme authority in the world, and that is the Pope. God hath delivered over unto the Pope the power and rule of heaven and earth. Therefore we must be obedient unto him upon pain of damnation. All right and power are lodged in his breast. No law can be made to bind Christians, but by the Pope's authority, as of old the Israelites received none but by Moses. The gospel would not be the gospel if the Pope had not approved of it. The Pope can take away any man's right and give it to another. The Pope can do anything above all right, against all right, and without all right. If Christ commands one thing and the Pope another thing, the Pope is rather to be obeyed than Jesus Christ. The Pope's decretory letters are to be received and esteemed as authentic as the Word of God or the Holy Scriptures. It is sacrilege to question the Pope's action, and he is cursed of God who violates the Pope's censures. If the Pope affirm that to be black, which our eye judges to be white, we ought also then to declare that it's black upon pain of our souls. The Pope hath the sole rule and power of the whole world in temporals as well as in spirituals, and therefore can depose emperors or kings, and may dispose of their dominions as he shall think convenient. If the Pope shall depose a king and give his kingdom to another, and the people will not receive him, the Pope may bring him by force of arms, because he is judge of all, and instead of God on earth. Not to believe that the Pope can dispose kings is to be, and that deservedly, damned for heresy. Christ had not done wisely if he had not left the Pope power to depose kings. If a king be a heretic or favorer of heresy, he may be deposed. If the Pope shall declare a king to be heretic, he hath no right to his kingdom, and the Pope may depose him. The Pope can give the people liberty either to choose or take new masters. By this means they keep all kings and princes in their obedience and submission to the Pope. All Protestants are heretics, and therefore they ought to be killed. It is better and safer to make alliance and amity with Turks, infidels, or Jews than with heretic Protestants, because they may draw us into the errors of their novelties. Most people do not know that there are two popes. The white pope is responsible for the administration of the Holy Roman Catholic Church, and the Black Pope is a Jesuit mercenary and is responsible for eliminating people and problems affecting the church with extreme prejudice. He is also the overseer of the papal treasuries, banking, and wealth management. The Vatican today is a privately owned, corporate, money-driven, and self-interested religious cult that masks itself in trapping of Christianity. It is a front for the Italian P2 Masonic Lodge or Illuminati, which is routinely involved in murder for hire, gambling, pedophilia, sex, and white slavery, human trafficking, and international drug activity. Vatican City is one of the three privileged and autonomous city-states, which also coordinates the Pan-American elite global organized crime for the Western banking cabal. The two other city-states are Washington, D.C., and the Crown City of London, England. The so-called Holy Roman Catholic Church has become known as the center of religious spiritual leadership. The Crown City of London has become known as the center of world finance, and Washington, D.C. has become known as the center of the world military power, the enforcer. All three are inseparable for their common philosophy and yet separate corporate centers in their own right. By that I mean that they are not subject to national laws. For example, the Vatican is immune from Italian law, London is immune from British law, and Washington, D.C. is immune from state law. All three are collectively the unified center for a secret society and criminal cabal known as the Illuminati, and their real headquarters is the United Nations and the City of New York. This fact can be found in the United States Code. During World War II, the hierarchy of the Vatican freely supported the Nazi program for world domination, and Pope Pius XII personally rendered his blessing upon Adolf Hitler, then known as Baron Rothschild. Adolf Hitler was himself a 1/8 Rothschild. This bit of history is not part of the historical public record, but well documented and confirmed. Hitler did not commit a suicide, but escaped to South America and died in the early 1960s. Several books have been published in the last decade documenting and confirming the historical record. He died at the age of 73 on February 13, 1962. He lived out the balance of his life in a mountainous retreat 1,000 miles south of Buenos Aires. King George of England did not lose the war for American independence, as we were taught in school. He settled his tax dispute with the Founding Fathers. He did regain his rightful power, but did not lay any claim to any of the colonial land because of a treaty that he had entered into by his predecessor, King James, and Pope Innocent III of the Holy Roman Catholic Church. You can read the details for yourself by Googling the Treaty of 1213 and read it for yourself. Like most kings, James was not an intelligent man and was easily manipulated by Pope Innocent III. King James had been excommunicated by the Holy Roman Church because of having given his royal assent to an aristocratic document titled the Magna Carta, which in part recognized the dukes and lords as sovereign, and which prevented the return of their estates to the king upon their deaths. King James had been forced into signing this document to avert a rebellion of the citizenry of England. King James also recognized that the Magna Carta would now deprive him of his income on those estates and their resale upon the death of the dukes and lords. So he invoked an ancient law he remembered titled the Law of Mortmain, or Dead Man's Hand, which established the basis of the current probate court system in America. Probate provides for a tax or percentage of the descendant's estate be paid to the king upon the distribution of a dead man's estate, and the failure to pay this tax resulted in the ownership in the estate being sold by the court to pay the tax, and absent a valid last will and testament, the estate be returned to the king. In America, the same laws apply, and the estate is returned to the state. The Mortmain Law and the Magna Carta upset Pope Innocent III because it placed the lords and dukes on equal footing with the sovereign king and His Holiness, the Pope, and the Law of Mortmain prevented Catholic parishioners from willing the deeds into their homes and land to the church. From willing the deeds to their homes and land to the church by obligating the church to pay the king's probate tax. Pope Innocent III retaliated by excommunicating King James, and he issued a decree declaring that the Magna Carta was to be an affront to God and the Roman Catholic Church, and therefore was unlawful, and therefore illegal. The Pope designated the Vatican's representative Stephen Langdon to rule England, but King James refused to permit Langdon to assume the throne. The papacy placed England under interdiction, which denied its residents all the benefits of being Catholic. Finally, King James was forced to accept Stephen Langdon as the Archbishop of Canterbury, and King James groveled before the Pope. King James was eventually convinced by Pope Innocent III that because of his excommunication, that upon the king's death his soul would be condemned to purgatory. Out of fear of purgatory, King James made a series of acts of contrition to regain the favor of the Holy Roman Catholic Church, and the Pope, whom the king now regarded as God's only living representative on earth. King James surrendered to the Pope and signed the Treaty of 1213. This is not the King James of our Bible. The Treaty of 1213 spelled out King James' concessions, giving the land titles of Ireland, England, and France to the Holy Roman Church, the lands and oceans of the world, the payment of 1,000 gold marks each year, and a royal decree which declared the Pope the Vicar of Christ, meaning the only living descendant of Peter, Christ's appointed representative on earth. It is important to note that all royalty is a historic prevarication, but man has accepted their presence like a bad government. Devout Christians might argue this point, but realistically, somebody has to be in charge, whomever they are, to maintain order and organize protection from other nations. The Holy Roman Catholic Church and all future popes would all pursue other avenues to gain similar treaties and control of nations around the world, which is much easier to accomplish if you are the Vicar of Christ. King James' royal decree that all the lands and seas of earth was the property of the Holy Roman Catholic Church eventually became the impetus behind the change in American land titles from allodial deeds to fee simple deeds, which utilizes the ancient Roman trusts as model. I'll discuss this in the next post. It was somewhat ironic that in the last post, part 11 of this series, I noted that it was the former U.S. legislator from Ohio's 17th district that blew this out of the water when he testified before the House of Representatives. It was just a few days after I posted part 11 that I learned former Congressman James Traficant had died from a tractor accident in his barn near Youngstown, Ohio. Jim Traficant was 73 years of age. Mr. Traficant publicly exposed the fact that the United States of America was bankrupt since 1933. His death was ruled an accident, and that may be true. However, we cannot rule out a criminal act. If you have never read or listened to former Congressman James Traficant's speech of March 17, 1993, you are negligent of understanding why it is that you are not free in the USA. Every living American is pledged as collateral against the debt owed to the Vatican as a result of the Federal Reserve System Act of 1913. And in conjunction with the treaties of 1213 AD, 1783 AD and 1871 AD, Americans are slaves. The Treaty of Verona of 1822 AD further solidified papal control of the USA. The freedom of the citizenry ended in 1871 AD, when the original Constitution for the United States of America was changed to the Constitution of the United States of America. The original Constitution was replaced by sleight of hand by our legislators with a corporation. What this did was to put the United States back under British rule, which is under Vatican rule. Congressman Traficant, in his speech, had brought embarrassment to his colleagues, who have covered this up since it was brought about in 1871. I'll continue with more in the next segment of All Roads Lead to Rome. Just remember, the best slave is the one who believes he is free. By now you probably have realized that the study of history is important. We are not free. We merely think and believe we are free. God bless. Pastor Bob. Unquote.